This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
With less than 2% of Africans fully vaccinated, we cannot get vaccines fast enough into the arms of the people.
That's Fiona Atubwe, the new vaccine introduction officer at the WHO Regional Office for Africa, on the challenges of inoculating the continent. Details coming up. Also, South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa makes changes to his cabinet. And supporters of Tanzania's opposition, Chadema Party, are urging the government to release their leader. These stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. The World Health Organization says shipments of coronavirus vaccine to Africa are picking up while the continent continues to grapple with an upsurge in COVID-19 infections. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
After a slight dip in cases last week, the third wave of COVID-19 has come roaring back, with infections rising by nearly 19% to more than 278,000 new cases this week. Also this week, the World Health Organization says COVID-19 deaths have reached a record peak of more than 6,400, bringing the total number of coronavirus fatalities on the continent to more than 172,000. Amid the bad news is the positive prospect of scaled-up vaccine shipments to Africa. Fiona Atuhebwe is new Vaccines Introduction Officer at the WHO Regional Office for Africa. She says there has been a 12-fold increase in vaccine deliveries in the last 2 weeks of July compared with the first half of the month, bringing the total number of doses shipped to Africa so far to 91 million.
We need to be clear, though. In a continent of over 1.3 billion people, this is just a tiny drop in a very large ocean. And in the face of a surging third wave and more contagious variants, vaccine shortages leave Africa dangerously exposed. We have a very long way to go. With less than 2% of Africans fully vaccinated, we cannot get vaccines fast enough into the arms of the people.
Atuhebwe says the vaccines arriving from the United States and European Union are expected to continue, and shipments from Britain will start soon. She says around 110 million doses are expected to be delivered to African countries through the COVAX facility and the African Union by the end of September.
Beyond September, as commitments by COVAX and the African Union and bilateral deals come through, we hope to meet the target of vaccinating 30% of Africans by the end of this year. But we also need up to 250 million more doses to complement the COVAX and African Union doses to meet this goal.
Atuhebwe says it would be a dream to have vaccines manufactured on the continent. She says several countries, notably Senegal, South Africa, Morocco, and Egypt, have the capacity to make it, but not from scratch. For that to become a reality, she says the technology for producing COVID-19 vaccine must be transferred to African countries. She says a waiver also is needed on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, known as TRIPS. That would temporarily allow African countries to manufacture vaccines for underserved populations. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has reshuffled his cabinet, replacing the key ministers of finance, defense, health and tourism, and abolishing the security ministry while shifting its responsibilities to the presidency in a move criticized by many. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
The reshuffle has received mixed reaction. Key to the changes was replacing Finance Minister Tito Mboweni with African National Congress Economic Policy Head Enoch Godongwana. But Kevin Links, an economist at asset management firm Stanlib, says the new minister seemed to have been received well by the markets.
The markets have been fairly neutral in their reaction I think people understand that Enoch has been involved in economic policy development in South Africa for many years. He understands the economic background in this country incredibly well. He understands the policy agenda. He's formulated a lot of our policies.
After the recent violence and looting that left the country's security agencies embarrassed and blamed for sleeping on duty, Ramaphosa sacked Defense Minister Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula and brought in Speaker of Parliament Thandi Modise, also known as Iron Lady. But surprisingly, Police Minister Bekicele retained his job despite his forces failing to stop the looting that dragged on unabated for a week. Political analyst Ncebisi Ndlejana says Ramaphosa wanted to make sure there is a strong individual covering his back in the ruling ANC stronghold of KwaZulu-Natal province, KZN, where Cele comes from.
Well, it would have been terrible to have two ministers from KZN, provincially based ministers, being kicked out of cabinet, because Mkhize is already out, and to have Cele out as well. You know, Cyril still has to watch his back to make sure that he has KZN behind him.
As expected, Ramaphosa dropped Health Minister Zweli Mkhize, who is entangled in corruption scandals involving family members and tenders issued by his department. The abolishing of the state security ministry and putting its functions in the presidency was one of the controversial moves. Jane Duncan, a professor at the University of Johannesburg, explains why.
I'm concerned about the move. I think that it could easily be interpreted as a power grab and lead to the consolidation of power in the presidency in a fairly unhealthy kind of way. We've seen the world over, and particularly in our own region, how when civilian intelligence agencies are located in presidencies, how they've become the Praetorian guards of presidents.
Ramaphosa insists it is the best way to protect South Africa.
This is to ensure that the country's domestic and foreign intelligence services
Matter, Right, you can't.